Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea about them. And they often do. Isn't that right, Shannon?
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's what we hear. Today, we're recording on a whole new rig, which includes earphones, an equalizer mixing board thing, and microphones that are semi-pro, so... if it sounds a little different, yay. And if it doesn't, well, buy a better set of headphones yourself, asshole. With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. With me, not as always, is Xander the dog.
Yeah, Xander the dog is here.
I can hear him panting through these nice new microphones.
Xander the dog looks like a combination of Splinter and who did you say?
Sir Didymus.
Sir Didymus from Labyrinth. He is an adorable darling, and he'll probably be panting throughout the show, so... You ASMR folks, just enjoy that. Just get down with the Xander pants. Returning as a guest, we have Andrea King, who was amazing last time she was on with some of the improv games we played. So, Andrea, welcome back. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, hell yeah. And you've brought a friend. This is Betty Bermudez. She's a nurse, and she is, just based on the conversations we've had before starting recording, indelibly awesome. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm stoked. I'm ready to do it to it.
And you've got a big beer.
So I've got a big-ass 32-ounce beer.
And who's it from?
Wonderland Brewing.
Wonderland Brewing. If you'd like to sponsor the show, you can tweet us at A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter.
Is that label handwritten?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The beer on there. The beer, the date, the booze.
That's how you know it's really crafty.
Yeah, that's the authentic stuff. So today's episode is, the theme is royalty, so we've got 11 topics for you, and Andrea and Betty, you guys being our guests, you get to choose which one of you goes first.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, Betty's gonna go first. Betty, you get to pick 1 through 11.
7.
Number 7. Great.
Always 7.
All right. Betty. It's time for a very special category.
Yay!
And Shannon is super psyched about this. It is time for Pomme ou Pomme de Terre. Now, each week for Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, I present an object that is neither an apple, pomme in French, or a potato, pomme de terre in French, and the guests have to tell us whether it's an apple or a potato.
An apple of the ground or an apple of the air.
That's right. This week, the object is a Nolan Ryan Upper Deck card covering his legacy from 1966 to 1993, which, when you think about a sports person playing for that long, insane. But is this baseball card an apple or a potato?
This is absolutely an apple. Look at this guy.
Is he the apple of your eye?
He's an apple of my eye,
He's
for sure.
Apple cheeks.
He's apple cheeked.
I'd put it on him if I were single. Back in the day, he's an old man now, I know.
But he still beats the shit out of people pretty easily. Like,
he did. Right before he retired, somebody, he was pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, baseball has all these funny etiquette rules, right? And I don't know, he looked at somebody the wrong way. And the hitter ran to him to whoop his ass.
Oh, yeah.
And old man Nolan Ryan got him in a headlock and just bam, got this young buck and beat his ass.
The player in question was Robin Ventura, who was the third baseman for the Chicago White Sox at the time. And Ventura's probably, like, I'm guessing 28, 29. And Nolan Ryan's in his mid-40s. Robin Ventura charges the mound. And just like you said, Nolan wrapped him up in a headlock and was just pounding on him. And then benches cleared. It was darling.
The best part about this story is... that the viewers can't see is Betty's miming of the headlock.
Really, really wrapping it up. Really getting in there. Shannon, what do you think? Is this an apple or a potato?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to say that it's a potato because it is covered in a protective plastic coating, much the way that potatoes are covered by a protective layer of dirt while they're growing.
Oh.
I think. Is that how you grow potatoes?
They're in the ground, so
yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
So yeah, the plastic is acting as the ground for the potato that is the Nolan Ryan card.
Apples are out there being teenagers just flaunting their shit in the sun. Potatoes have the decency to bury themselves in the ground.
They cover themselves.
Yeah.
Look away.
Andrew, what do you think?
I'm the opposite. I think it's an apple, because you know how they put the wax coating on apples?
Like, ooh.
I think, yeah, Nolan Ryan is hot, done, and ready to go to the supermarket.
Ripe. Ripe.
Yeah. I love it.
And much like apples.
He is ripe.
Lasts a really long time, probably longer than they should.
It's true. Yeah, you really can't tell from the outside of an apple, usually, if it's mealy on the inside. Mm-hmm. Whereas a potato at least eyes out for you, right?
Well, also, I think grocery store apples, part of the wax protection, and keeps them, quote, air quotes, fresh. So an apple that you get in the grocery store has actually been picked for, like, 3 or 4 months before you actually get it.
And who probably picked that apple?
Nolan Ryan.
Oh, I like that answer, but I was I was fishing for some sort of love for immigrants.
Oh.
Because usually it's not people from America who are picking apples, but
that's true.
Nolan Ryan's true. A good guess.
I was going to say, I'd probably pick up a Nolan Ryan apple and be like, Pink Lady, Granny Smith, oh, Nolan Ryan.
It's going to go right through you. That's the reason I don't eat apples.
Oh, and he threw baseballs, which are kind of apple-y shaped.
They are.
So, yeah.
There you go. If it was a football player, it'd definitely be potato.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Round, pig-skinned deliciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm going to give, let's see. I'm going to go ahead and give, I'm going to give Betty 2 points.
Ew.
And I'm going to give Andrea and Shannon 1 point each.
Ew.
And Shannon, okay. You get to pick the next topic.
All right.
One through ten.
With number two.
Number two. Shannon Page, do you have a vague idea about Pet Cemetery?
I do.
Great. Andrea, Pet Cemetery?
Yeah.
All right. Betty, Pet Cemetery?
Hell
okay,
yeah.
Great. Shannon, start us off. Let's talk about Pet Cemetery.
Originally a Stephen King book, and later made into what was one of the scariest movies of my childhood. My dad was really scared of it as well. I remember the two of us tried to watch it on some, like, divorced dad weekend, and it took us like 2 months to get through it because we kept having to turn it off because it was so freaky.
Oh yeah.
Especially a spoiler alert, the part where the kid cuts the old man's ankle from under the bed. I can't even think about it. That's like, to me, still one of the worst horror movie moments ever.
It's like the end of Where the Red Fern Grows, which always bothered me that, like, the dog's Achilles tendon gets cut by the vines or whatever. It's just, ugh. Like, that's, I hate that. That's, like, the word, like, ankle and wrist cutting are the things that kill me for everything.
But in general, yeah, it's a horror novel, horror movie about a cemetery where when you bury something, it doesn't stay dead, but it comes back different.
They don't come back right.
And recently remade, although I didn't see the remake.
Is it out yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it came out around Halloween.
Oh, all right. I thought it was coming out this year, but oh no, it has come out, but it came out in April.
Oh.
Anyway.
Close enough.
Great. Andrea, let's talk Pet Cemetery. What do you got?
I do not want to be buried in a pet cemetery.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. Very good. Very good. You're going to get an extra half point because your last name is King and the author's name is King.
Oh, the King.
You tied into the royalty thing right away, so I think
probably
Andrea's just going to win. I know that kind of makes the game pointless now, but I think, come on.
It makes me try harder.
Perfect. That's what I'm looking for.
It's on.
Betty, what do you know about Pet Cemetery?
You know, I think what you know. Is that the Ramones song that you just sang?
Yeah.
The Ramones?
Yeah.
Great punk rock band?
I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
Great.
It's a freaking rocking song.
Yeah. I love that.
YouTube,
I love that we tied it back there, too.
YouTube the song, and then YouTube Nolan Ryan kicking that other guy's ass.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's a real Dark Side of the Moon Wizard of Oz thing. You line up that Ramones song with, yeah, and just... Pet Cemetery is a 1983 horror novel by American writer Stephen King. The novel was nominated for a World Fantasy Award for Best Novel in 1986, and was adapted into two films, one in 89 and another in 2019. In November of 2013, PS Publishing released it as a 30th anniversary limited edition. Yeah, the plot, Lewis Creed is a doctor from Chicago, and he's appointed as director of the University of Maine's Campus Health Services, which really, like, if you're in a Stephen, I want Stephen King to write a self-aware book where somebody gets to Maine and they're like, fuck, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, no.
Something is wrong with Maine.
I always think that when I go to Castle Rock here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. And spoiler alert, I grew up there, and there is. There's a lot wrong with it.
That explains a lot.
Coming from Littleton.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the thing that's crazy, so, because I grew up, like, my parents are both very liberal and open-minded and everything, so I grew up in Castle Rock not knowing, and then something happened where basically the confluence of Facebook and my college experience mixed together, and I noticed, like, wait, most of the people that I know from high school are really, really religious and right-wing. I don't understand how that happened. And then, of course, you read and you're like, oh, well, Douglas County is this, and used to be the like Western United States seat for the KKK and all these other things. You're like, oh, I grew up in like a weird Christian town. I didn't have any idea.
Maine is kind of weird. So Stephen King is from Bangor.
Yeah.
And I know this woman from Bangor, and she says, Bangor? I hardly know her. That's where they come from.
The only person from Bangor, Maine I know is the girl from D2 The Mighty Ducks who plays goalie. Wait, anybody? No?
No. All right. Know her?
Well, I don't know her.
Yeah,
I know of her.
We got a little starstruck just sitting here with you.
Like, wow, you're well-rounded, and you know the D2 goalie.
Her name was Julie the Cat something. I can't remember what her character's last name was. Yeah, so there's a well-tended path that leads to a pet cemetery that's misspelled cemetery on the sign because the children wrote it, where the children of the town bury their deceased animals. An outing leads to an argument, and then a cat comes back, and then I think he kills a kid on accident.
The kid gets hit by a truck,
and they decide to bury said child in the cemetery, and the kid don't come back right.
Gabe.
Would you bury your loved one in the pet cemetery?
I don't think I would even clone a loved one. We had an interesting conversation about cloned pets last week, I think. And Xander, sorry, bud, but Shannon said, no dice. Not getting cloned. Like, when you're gone, you're gone. And that's okay.
It's too weird.
I like that you're actually talking to Xander right now. You're, like, making eye contact with him.
He seems very unfazed, too. I'm really... And I talk to animals a lot. Like, every day, I bring my dog to work a lot. So Rocket and I come to work, and we meet a lot of other people and their dogs. And I have this propensity for making eye contact with people's dogs first, and then sort of looking up to the person and being like, oh, you're a human. It's like, oh, shoot. But, yeah. Xander, it's tough, but you're having a good time here. It's good to see you.
I think the eye contact thing is just like Denver etiquette.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I brought a beer. How are you? Connect with the dog. Hand over the local beer. And then
acknowledge the person. Build that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the Denver motto is the dog is the window to the soul, right? So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look directly at the dog. Great job, everybody. That was a good cover of Pet Cemetery. I'm going to give each of you, Andrea's going to get 1.5 because of the last name. Shannon's going to get 2 points because she started it, and Betty, you're going to get a single point.
Yes.
And Andrea, you get to pick the next topic, which will be 1 through 9.
I'm going to go for 9.
Number 9. Okay, it's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Oh.
This week for Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have to decide whether you're fucking, marrying, or killing the following people. Prince, the band Queen, or Princess Leia. Who will you fuck, who will you marry, and who will you kill?
All right, well, I'm going to fuck Prince. That's just a given.
Sure, yeah. I mean, unless you're into, like, the group thing with Queen. Prince is, I mean, come on, it's Prince.
It's an opportunity, really.
Yeah.
It's a resume builder. I put it on all the dating websites. Has fucked Prince.
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, were I single, I would swipe right on that for sure. I'd be like, oh, shit, great.
Username Little Red Corvette?
Yeah.
Nice.
Hopefully not too little.
Yeah. I would marry Queen.
Okay.
I think they really got it going on as a band, you know, to kind of keep Freddie in check a little bit.
Sure, okay.
Uh-huh. Still pretty rocking.
Yeah.
So, seems like the right group to settle down with.
Hmm.
And, I'd have to kill Princess Leia.
All right.
Yeah, competition. Get her out of this galaxy and universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to do that first, and then I'm going to call Prince.
Right. You're not gonna, yeah, you don't want to have, like, dirty business to deal with after. Like, that sullies the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, killing Princess Leia is not like smoking a cigarette. It's a totally different post-coital sort of activity.
It's gonna be a lot of work.
Yeah. It's gonna be difficult. She's tough.
Maybe I'd kill her, like, between fucking Prince and marrying Queen. I'd be like, Queen, we got it going
on. Queen, but, to help you.
But Brian May, you know, you look like a certain Wookiee, I know. And I'm going to need your help. Will you rock me?
Brian May, if you're listening, we would love to Photoshop your face onto a Wookiee, and I might do that later for this very, for promotion of this show. Excellent. Betty, who would you fuck, who would you marry, and who would you kill?
I would totally fuck Queen.
Okay.
I feel like more bang for your fuck.
Yeah, sure.
Four for the price of one. And I would marry Prince.
Okay, okay.
I think he was very brilliant.
Even though he might, like, lock you away in, like, a corner of a mansion in under glass.
Small price to pay.
All right, yeah, sure.
And, yeah, I'd have to kill Princess Leia, unfortunately. I think I would feel bad. I would feel bad about it.
Yeah. I would hope so. I would hope everyone would feel bad about murder.
I don't know. She was relishing it a little bit.
Yeah. She liked it. The decision is made easier by Carrie Fisher actually no longer being with us, because I'm like,
it's true.
Probably not going to get my ass kicked in this lifetime.
In fairness, all principal players in this are dead. So
that's true.
Not Brian May.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not everybody's favorite Wookiee, Brian May.
Three of the four Queen guys are still
That's
with
true.
Us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Queen is the most well-educated band in rock. I think all three guys, except for Freddie Mercury, have, like, PhDs in, like, rocket science and weird shit like that.
Wow.
So, I still just fuck them, though.
Yeah. I'm not here for your brains.
I'm not here for the brain. You're talking too much. And marry Prince and then kill another one, Bites the Dust, kill Homegirl.
Okay. All right. Shannon, what are you going to do?
All right. I'm also going to fuck Prince.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because Purple Rain.
Sure.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. The done deal. I'm going to kill Queen.
Okay.
Because I'm going to kill Queen as they exist now, because I think, are they touring with Adam Lambert now?
What?
They toured with Paul Rogers for a while.
Are they touring with Adam Lambert?
I feel like I saw recently.
I thought that was
are.
Journey that was touring with Adam Lambert. Maybe
no, Journey's got like a
YouTube. Oh no, they, on YouTube. Yeah, they've got the they got the guy from Singapore and Malaysia, yeah. Right? Yeah.
No, I think Queen is now touring with Adam Lambert, and I don't like that.
Yeah, that bums me out.
And I don't like, and I'm pissed at them for doing that, so I'm going to kill them.
Okay.
And then
okay.
I'm going to marry Leia.
Yeah.
And fight some Star Wars.
Cool.
That's good.
Won't somebody put an end to these Star Wars? Great job. You're all getting 2 points. Those were all excellent answers. And Betty, you're up. 1 through 8.
5.
Number 5. All right. Do you have a vague idea about a California king?
Yeah.
Okay. Shannon, California king.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah, right. Let's try it out.
Yeah, let's do it.
With Prince.
Let's get Prince in here. Let's get Prince and Queen in here. So, Betty, start us off. Let's talk about California King.
So, I'm going to need a California King when I have my romp with the four guys from Queen.
Hell yeah.
We're going to need a lot of room. It's a king-size bed that is even a little bit bigger than a king-size bed. So, a very American thing, right, to have a big-ass bed and then make it even bigger. And then it's a song by that band Everclear, too.
It is.
Which
and,
I really like.
And there's another artist who has a song called that, too.
Ooh.
But someone will get to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't steal their thunder.
Yeah. No, I'm not gonna take it away from anybody.
I'm done. I'm
Shannon.
Good.
All right.
What do you got?
I'll pile on to the bed part.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the king makes it wider, the California makes it longer. Because you can also get like a California twin, which is what I had in college, and it made it impossible to find sheets.
That's right. I remember when I went to see you freshman year, they were like, you have to buy these special long twin sheets.
Yeah.
It's like, cool.
Thanks,
so
thanks.
You're accommodating tall, very narrow people.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know the other song by California King, but I'm going to throw this fact out there that may or may not be true. I believe there was a king, a guy who declared himself the king of the United States, and he lived in San Francisco. So he would have been a California king.
Cute.
Yes.
He was kind of an eccentric guy that just decided that that's what he was, and was so excited and happy about it that people kind of went with it and they started calling him the king.
The person you're referencing is Joshua Abraham Norton, born February 4th, 1818, died January 8th, 1880. Known as Emperor Norton, was a citizen of San Francisco who proclaimed himself Norton I, Emperor of the United States in 1859.
Emperor.
Hey, that's still...
It's royalty.
Emperor is like a super king. Yeah. It's like a California king. He later assumed the secondary title Protector of Mexico. And he was born in England, but spent most of his life in South Africa. So, yeah, weird.
What an eclectic guy.
Andrea, what can you add about California king?
Never underestimate the king. I assume it's a bed that originated in the valley. Makes sense. and I got a little bit of a story. So
great, let's talk.
I am the oldest of three. And when my mom was pregnant with my sister...
Were you guys in a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory situation? Like you're all in one California King bed?
That's a different story.
Okay.
All right. So when my mom was pregnant with my sister, you know, being the oldest, I was very like, what? What do you mean? We don't need another person. We're fine. You know, you brought Robert along. Ugh. So my parents said that I could redo my room and I could pick out any bed I wanted. If you are expecting children or you have children, don't tell them that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. So, you know, we walk into probably like American Furniture Warehouse in 1990, and I'm like, I'll take that one. And it was a California King waterbed.
Did it have a tiger on it at the time? Because it was AFW.
It did not. And my dad and I negotiated down to a queen-size waterbed.
That's all, that is so baller, though.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. Waterbeds were so much fun when we were kids.
They were the funk.
My parents had a waterbed, too, and I used to, like, watch the Nuggets games in their bedroom because they had a bedroom TV and they didn't really care about basketball. And, yeah, I would do, like, great. I don't know. I was probably, like, 9, 10, 18, whatever.
2 weeks ago.
Spelunking. Like, I would crawl down into the bottom of it and just like, you know, and try to get as much wave as I could get going. It's, you know, it's a sad childhood as an only kid. Yeah.
So they really make a California King water bed? Or they did then?
They did in 90.
Oh my God.
Which, that's hey, so... if the end of the world hits, not just the toilet tank.
Drink
you,
the water.
You drink that California drink King the water bed.
So if you can find one.
Yeah, my
it's
mom.
It's not 1990 anymore.
No, that's true.
The selling point with my mom was responsibility, because it meant that I had to change the water and condition the water in my water bed.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
The fun part was, like, pulling out all the bubbles. Like, here's your yardstick, child. Like... Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I remember the bubble removal process, and that... Oh, man. It was such a burden they were.
I didn't know that was a thing. You have to do bubble removal?
Oh, yeah. You gotta knead the air out of the thing because you get, like, an air bubble trap back here, and then all the water just goes gloop. And so it's like sleeping on a really shitty air mattress that just has, like, a divot in the middle.
You gotta fart the bed.
Yeah.
You gotta fart it.
There's a great episode of The X-Files, which has kind of a recurring day trend where Mulder keeps going to a bank that's being robbed, but he wakes up every single time because the waterbed in the unit above him is dripping on his head. And that's all I've got that relates to waterbeds. In the early 1960s, a LA furniture company began making oversized beds for celebrity mansions, and at a whopping 72 inches by 84 inches, the King bed became dubbed the California King bed. Ooh. So there you go. That's the vague and not entirely exciting history of the California King size waterbed.
We got a lot of traction out of a topic that was basically just about
yeah.
a big bed.
Yeah. It wasn't, yeah. There wasn't a whole lot there, but I'm proud of you guys. I really am. I'm proud of us.
We did it.
And let's not forget Xander did most
Xander.
Of it. You're each going to get a point for that. I think that was excellent. And Shannon, you're up. You get to pick 1 through 7.
6.
Number 6. It's time to play recast. Ooh. And this week we're going to recast.
Do I even need to hear it? Can I just say?
I mean, you can. You probably could. I can see how what you're going to say will apply very well.
All right, let's hear it.
We're going to recast the 1991 film Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, I love it.
And I need you to recast both the Kevin Costner and the Christian Slater parts.
Ooh.
So your Robin Hood and your Will Scarlet.
I just want to preface this with... pretty well-known fact about me, actually, anybody that knows me, is that when I was a kid, I was desperately in love with Kevin Costner and Christian Slater. And this movie was like
Cream Fest,
the pinnacle of my sexual awakening.
I just want to make sure we all really put a pin in Cream Fest. Real fast. I like you a lot, Betty, already. And we just met. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I wanna hang out more.
Let's see. So if I was going to recast those two, I mean Keanu Reeves for sure. So I'm
sure.
Trying to think who else
but what role?
Where
would you put Keanu?
I think I'd put him in the Keanu Reeves now in the Kevin Costner role. And Keanu Reeves then in the Christian Slater role.
Oh shit.
That's cute.
I do really like the idea of a sort of like time warp recursion version of Robin Hood that's basically the movie Looper, but with Keanu Reeves in both roles. Let's not even put Joseph Gordon-Levitt in weird makeup to try to make him look like young Bruce Willis. It doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
It didn't work very well. Although, I like that movie, but yeah. Okay, here's the thing about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves real quick. Apparently, like, no one liked it. It's got terrible reviews, generally.
I owned the soundtrack.
And I remember really enjoying the movie as a kid. I was like, this is great.
And Alan Rickman is...
he was incredible.
Yeah.
He was the...
You got Morgan Freeman in it, too.
Sheriff
Nottingham.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I'll cut his heart out with a spoon. Why a spoon? Because it'll hurt more. Yeah.
I'm not joking.
I saw it a lot.
The song was on the radio nonstop.
Yeah.
People had to love it.
The Bryan Adams song.
Everything I do it for you.
I do it for you. So I do romantic. It for Xander.
So romantic.
Aw. Xander, we're doing it for you.
We're doing it for you, Xander.
Yeah. Andrea, who would you cast in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Keanu is pretty hard to follow.
That's tough.
It does. It's tricky. But Shannon always does. Shannon always does Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, except this time when she just did Keanu Reeves in 2 points in his life.
She elevated her game just now.
Man, this is serious because I love that movie. Between that and like Dances with Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know what I'm doing on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Get that California King waterbed.
Yeah.
Live the life.
Put on some Prince.
Man, I'm excited for the weekend.
So Cream awesome. Fest.
Yeah. I got hobbies.
I don't know how you're going to work Pet Sematary into it, but...
Ooh, that might get messy.
You know Stephen King's son? What is his right? It's his pen name. It's Joe Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We'll just throw him in.
I was going to say the Pet Sematary thing would be that you'll come once and then you'll come a second time and it won't be quite as good, but it'll still happen.
It won't be right.
Yeah. That one left me a little itchy.
Just try it out. We'll see what happens. Maybe it'll be different this time. Didn't work for the cat, but it's going to work for me. Okay, so Kevin Costner. And we're talking about, like, now, like, if they remade it, like, a whole, like, Aladdin
You can pick anybody from any era. You can be, like, Humphrey Bogart and Gwyneth Paltrow, whatever. Like, whatever you want to do. Whatever's the most exciting, creative version of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves that you can think of with a new Robin Hood and a new Will Scarlet.
Okay, so this is what comes to mind first, is Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Okay. I'm very into that, actually. That
like,
would be...
Who's who?
Seth Rogen would definitely be Robin Hood. Like, yeah.
He's older. He's more experienced. Franco's shooting from the hip all the time. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
I like the idea of them sort of Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court falling into the Robin Hood movie from some sort of weed portal, probably. And... and they're just like, yeah, I don't know. I guess we got to do this thing. It would be like most episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation. Oh. And they're just like, yeah, we'll just put them in a Robin Hood story in the holodeck. That'll be not boring for everyone.
Yeah, and like just the end of Pineapple Express, and like 20 years later, into the past. Like, yeah,
I love it. Great. What do you got, Betty?
This is tough, you guys. I'm gonna go Robin Hood. Is going to be... I think what this movie is lacking is somebody saying motherfucker in it.
Okay.
So I'm going to put Samuel L. Jackson in Robin Hood.
Ooh.
To spice it up a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Give it a little bit of oomph.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he can be a little bit of himself from Do the Right Thing.
There you go.
Which kind of, he's kind of like the voice of reason, but he's also himself in Pulp Fiction. I like that. I like that a lot.
Just to add a little pizzazz to it. That's what the movie was lacking for me, and I loved it. It was cream fest for me too, trust me. And then let's put let's be real crazy. Let's put Lady Gaga in Will Scarlet.
Ooh. Hey. I think she totally takes the role very well.
Oh, I think she could do anything.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Okay, great. Perfect. Good job. Shannon, 2 points. Andrea, 2 points. 2.5 points for Betty. Woo-hoo! That was inspired. I like this Samuel L. Jackson, Lady Gaga scenario.
Sorry, it's farting. No, I could just hear it through the headphones.
That's actually me. That was me. I'm sorry.
The fear farts. Pet Cemetery.
Stage 5 farts.
Oh, Xander.
Xander.
And Betty.
They both have excellent hair.
It's true.
We kind of look alike. You just need a Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
You get a little stick on goatee. Yeah, a little stick on goatee. You be rocking it.
You have, like, the great waves.
Yeah, hair. Curly black hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to know? I really
admire Xander's hair. Honestly, he's got He's got. It's really like it's that mid-2000s Keanu where it's just like it's always wet and slicked back. Like, yeah.
Do you condition that dog?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
That's why he's got the gray hair. Mm-hmm.
It is definitely hair, too. I always think it looks like he has a little toupee on.
Yeah, he's like Toby, because our other dog, so my corgi has dog fur, which is, he sheds a bunch. Toby is this little white Maltipoo, and he has hair that just continues to grow. Like, he doesn't shed at all. It requires bathing and brushing constantly, otherwise it just gets matted. But he looks like an adorable little fluff ball, and he just becomes more, like, hippie-ish and full-looking as time passes. And then people scold us when we take him to the groomer because they're always mean. I don't know. Is that your experience with groomers? With dog groomers?
My groomer's really nice.
Okay.
JK Grooming on...
Just kidding?
That's the name. I'm pitching them. If anybody... On 6th Avenue in Denver, Colorado. They're really nice.
Oh, they wrote Harry Potter.
Ah!
Yeah, no, that was terrible. That was awful. I should cut that out, but I won't.
But he does always like. Don't cut that. But he does always kind of like try to nicely scold me.
He's sure.
Like, you know, he was kind of smelly when you brought him in.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, yeah, he gets smelly in like a day. I can't do anything about that.
He's a dog. Yo. Like, come on.
You know, you need to bathe him more often. I'm like, yeah, that's what you're here for.
I think he's kind of getting a dog boner.
Oh, yeah. His little lipstick is always out.
His lipstick is out.
Hey.
It's all that queen talk and pets out there.
Woo. We got a California King happening.
Cream fest. The cream fest is on.
where did we leave off? Who just picked the last topic?
That was me.
That was you? Okay. Andrea, you get to pick the next one. 1 through 6.
Let's go for 1.
Number 1. Do you have a vague idea about 1991's King Ralph?
I don't know that I do, but I'm trying really hard to make something up.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can join in and say you got a vague idea, and we'll see what happens.
All right. I've got a very vague idea.
We're on board. Betty, King Ralph, do you have a vague idea about that?
I have a made-up vague idea.
I like that. You're being honest and upfront. Shannon?
Yeah, I got
King
this
Ralph?
One.
Okay. Shannon Ooh. Knows.
I know. Shannon feels so confident.
I worked in a video store in the 90s.
All right. That's Andrea, good. What do you got? King Ralph, 1991.
So, King Ralph is an episode of The Simpsons where Ooh. All the adults vanish. Ooh. They're not at camp. They're in Springfield.
Uh-huh.
Not to be confused with another episode. And, the kids are all fighting, right? Nobody wants to go to school. Nobody has any transportation. Like, after a while, they realize that they don't have all the adult skills they need. And so they all start fighting. And Lisa figures out the only way to get everybody to come together is to appoint the most incompetent person.
I love what you're doing right now so much.
I would watch that episode.
Why are we not writing season 31 of The Simpsons?
It's better than anything they've written in the last couple seasons.
Last couple decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they appoint King Ralph. Mm. But little do they know that as he rules, not only does he rule without a clue, but he makes a lot of terrible decisions along the way.
I'm into it.
Is that that thing where the Simpsons predicted Trump?
They did. They did. There's an episode from season 20-something where Lisa is president in a flash-forward future episode. And she says, per writ, and this is from like 8 years ago, we're in a real budget crisis that President Trump left us with. So they knew. Somehow they knew that we were going to doom ourselves.
It sounds like King Ralph a little bit.
Did we all stop watching The Simpsons because we're like, ah, this is just so unbelievable, but in reality, this is where we'll be in a decade?
Oh, wow. So are you predicating that somehow we all culturally embrace this, like, fear of Nostradamus that The Simpsons became? And we were like, I can't look into the pensive like this anymore.
Yeah. I was like, I'm out. It's too far-fetched.
It's too far-fetched and too real at the same time. I can't do it.
It's already been done. 30 seasons.
Simpsons did it. South Park even said so on the show South Park. Simpsons did it. Anyway. Betty, what do you know about King Ralph?
King Ralph, 1991. He was an underground rapper from South Florida. He took on the Miami-based sound, but he was late to the game. There was already a lot of people doing the Miami-based sound. And he was actually the original writer of Booty, 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 Rockin' Everywhere. And he's currently suing those people for taking his song.
Right on. Okay. I like that.
Story of King Ralph.
I like that very much. Shannon, what do you got about King Ralph?
I feel bad that I actually know it. I feel like I should make something up.
No. That's the joy of this.
Help us, Shannon.
Also, now I'm worried that I had too much hubris and that I'm getting it confused with another movie. Well, let's find out. I think it's a John Goodman vehicle, where he is an American who, after some sort of disaster in England, finds out that he's the next in line that's still alive to become the King of England.
And that is correct.
That's cute.
And he goes to England and he becomes the king, and he like puts a bowling alley in Buckingham Palace, and he dates a poor shop girl played by Rose Tyler's mom from Doctor Who. I can't remember the actress's name, but when I was watching Doctor Who, I was like, how do I know this woman? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh my god, I know her from King Ralph. Like, I've got such useless shit in my head. Yeah, and it's a hilarious family romp.
But look how useful today.
Yeah, that's true.
You needed that. We needed
it. It's like I knew my whole life I was going towards a vague idea.
Yeah. All paths lead here. King Ralph is a 1991 American comedy film directed by David S. Ward and starring John Goodman and Peter O'Toole. Xander, I know. We're moving right along, I promise. This movie has Peter O'Toole in it, which is insane.
Oh, that's right.
And John Hurt. So two of the greatest English actors of our time.
I think they play his advisors. Or like one of them's trying to like subvert him and get him out.
I'm feeling like Peter O'Toole is probably the Rasputin character. I haven't seen this movie probably since 1992, so I don't know for sure. It's about an American who becomes the unlikely king of the United Kingdom after an accident wipes out the entire British royal family.
Oh, shit. I bet they like that movie over there.
Yeah, right? The budget was $23 million in 1991, and it made $52 million, so it's a hit.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It was loosely based on the novel Headlong by Emmeline Williams, but very little of the story survived the transition to the screen, and the characters were changed, so the story was made into a comedy. So it was very different. But yeah, the entire British royal family is killed in a freak accident outside Buckingham Palace. Sir Cedric Willingham leads a search to find any surviving heirs to whom to pass the crown. After days of searching, his family finally locates a living heir in the form of an American named Ralph Jones, played by John Goodman. Shortly after being fired from his job as a lounge singer in Las Vegas, getting ready for that Blues Brothers 2000 turn that we all know and love, Ralph is informed by Cedric's assistant, Private Secretary Duncan Phipps, that his grandmother Constance had an affair with the first Duke of Warren while working as a hotel waitress when the Duke was visiting the United States, resulting in Ralph having royal blood.
That Duke was a hoe.
Aren't all Dukes, though?
Yes.
I mean, come on. They're not marquises.
The Duke is loose.
The Duke is loose. Great job. Betty and Andrea are getting 3 points. Shannon's getting 4 points.
Ooh.
And Betty, you get to pick 1 through 5.
5.
Number 5. Do you have a vague idea about Princess Peach?
Yes.
Okay. Shannon, Princess Peach?
Yeah, vague.
Okay. Andrea?
Sure.
All right. Betty, what do you got? Princess Peach.
Princess Peach is from the Mario Brother.
Yeah.
You go and you hop across the lava. You kill those turtle goose looking guys. You jump over the mushroom guys. And you ba-ding, 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 the coins. You get all the coins. You run very fast. Anyway, short story long, you run into the den of this evil dragon to rescue Princess Peach. And then you whoop his ass and you get the peach.
That's yeah. It. Yeah. I mean, you get a lot of mushrooms before you get the peach, but yes, very true.
I don't want to hear about your love life, man. That's not what I came here to do.
Shannon, what can you add about Princess Peach?
And then after you rescue her, you get on a little cart and you race around and you throw bananas at her.
Very true.
And you try and make her crash.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of spite. You're like, well, I'm better than you because I'm a man, and that's how the world works, right? Andrea.
Well,
I do not endorse the misogyny I just projected.
I'm not helping because I'm like, I don't think she ever said anything. She's just like, cool, hey, boyfriend. Like, I mean, she didn't even, like, she's like, all right, I'm going for Mario, but she could have had Luigi. Maybe she liked the dragon dude. I mean, he had it going on.
She's got castles.
Got a big castle.
All over town. Yeah. Literally all over town. Like, so many castles.
And Mario's a plumber.
Like, hey, and as a son of a plumber, I have to take offense to that. But
that's fair, but, like, you, castles all over town.
Yeah, castles.
Like, I mean, I don't know. And, you know, he fought to the death for her honor. So maybe she really liked the dude. Like, maybe we've got the whole story wrong.
They were banging, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So somebody needs to write a Grendel-style remix of the Mario Brothers story from Bowser's perspective to be like, hey, look, I'm just like, I'm
just
kind of like...
chilling with my girl in my castle.
Yeah, I'm a lizard man. I got this hot dame. We're hanging out in my castle. And this plumber keeps, like, making house calls, and I didn't even call him. And he's like, I'm going to ask you a question. And then he, like, chops me off a bridge. Fuck this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just say fair. That's what Prince would do to me when I married him. Lock me up in a castle.
Ooh.
He could play Bowser.
Oh.
That'd be hot.
Yeah, they would. Way, way hotter than, who played Bowser in the Mario Brothers movie?
The live action one?
I don't know. Ooh, remember.
That's one from back in the days, too.
Dennis Hopper.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Who was the guys? Who was Mario and Luigi?
Bob Hoskins was Mario and John Leguizamo was Luigi,
I believe.
That's
right. Yeah.
Samantha Mathis played Peach in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Cute. Mm-hmm. I might stay with Dennis Hopper.
Yeah? You're into it? Yeah. It's like, you know what?
Like, Toadstool, the little guy, he stays with her, like, the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, the underplayed best friend.
Yeah.
He's
just Toad's great. And if you like Super Mario Brothers 2, Toad can pull vegetables out of the ground the fastest out of everybody. He doesn't jump that high, but he's got a work ethic, and I like that hustle.
Yeah.
Consistent.
Beyond that, like, I don't think Peach, like, has much of a storyline. Maybe they've changed that in recent years.
But I think they have, but I haven't owned a Nintendo system in a while, so, like, I don't know the nuances. I remember, again, from Mario Brothers 2, Peach's ability to, she can sort of jump and then, like, float for a long period of time.
Because she has on a dress.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, Well, you guys are always floating around. Like, I don't know.
That's how I got here.
Yeah.
No parking, no problem.
No, just riding feminine accoutrement all the way here.
It has pockets.
Oh, my God. That's probably going to be the title of the episode. Yeah, Princess Peach is a character in Nintendo's Mario franchise, originally created by Shigeru Miyamoto. Peach is a princess of the fictional Mushroom Kingdom, which is constantly under attack or perhaps under romantic advances by Bowser. She often plays the damsel in distress role within the series and is the lead female character, often portrayed as Mario's love interest. She's also, I think, the one that he is rescuing from Donkey Kong, too.
What's this girl doing, man?
I know. Well, this goes into the larger...
big hairy animals. Well, no, I guess Bowser wasn't hairy.
Big...
reptilian.
Animals. Big animals. Yeah. Just big animals. I mean, the larger question is, like, you know,
Mario
again with video games and lack
her.
Of
she's like, oh no, save me, I accidentally ran off with this big animal.
Yeah.
The beginning of the Iliad.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of weird, like, sexual gaslighting going on in this series of games. In Super Princess Peach, which I guess is a game, she's the protagonist and a playable character.
Cute.
And is occasionally a supporting playable character in games like Mario Bros. 2, Super Mario 3D World, and Mario Kart, which Shannon brought up. Princess Peach in Mario Kart is low acceleration but high top speed.
Ooh.
So she's slow to get going, but man, when she's going, she's going.
Reminds me of college. That's how I was.
I'm going to give each of you a point. And Shannon, through four.
I'll go with number one.
Number one. Do you have a vague idea about King Ghidra?
Don't.
Okay. Andrea, King Ghidra or Ghidorah? I don't know. I'm not entirely sure about that.
I didn't get the alternate pronunciation.
Shannon, yeah. Shannon, King Ghidorah?
I don't.
Okay.
Ghidorah.
Do you have a diagram?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Use it in a sentence.
I could use it in a sentence. King Ghidra is destroying the city.
Oh.
All right.
That would help.
I've got a vague idea.
And Shannon, you can opt back in if the destruction of a city tips you off.
Sure, sure.
Okay, okay. Betty, yeah?
I do now.
Great. Okay. Shannon, start us off. What do you got?
It's a friend of Godzilla's that destroys cities.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really great. That is a solid beginning. Andrea?
So it's like the, you know, the best friend role to Godzilla. Nice. So Godzilla does his thing, smashes some cities, everyone goes crazy. Oh my gosh, it's Godzilla, I love that guy. Well, they couldn't get him for the second movie, so they got his best friend.
He pulled a real Val Kilmer about it on the second movie. He was like, I'm not doing this again.
Nah, I'm out. Yeah. So Ghidra got a shine in the sequel.
Okay.
It's underplayed, but just as good.
I like the subtlety. Less scene chewing. Betty, what do you got? King Ghidra.
King Ghidra. History shows again and again how nature points out the folly of men. And with too much experimentation, after Godzilla, King Ghidra came out, destroying cities, banging Mothra. And then it became a love story.
And then Princess Peach started dating him.
Well, yeah.
And then she banged all of Queen.
Don't forget that Wookiee.
Oh my god. King Ghidra is the film monster originating from Toho's Ghidra the Three-Headed Monster from 1964. Although Toho officially trademarks the character as King... Well, this is a spelling issue. I don't give a shit about that. It's basically like a three-headed dragon creature that fights Godzilla in multiple crossovers. Despite... Now, Xander! Xander is very lovingly placed his face on the table. And, is doing that thing dogs do when they have their head on things. And you're just like, aw, buddy. How you doing?
And I think he wants Godzilla and Ghidra to get along.
Yeah.
He's sad that they're fighting.
We're not in a conflict here.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Although the design has remained largely consistent throughout its appearances, an armless, bipedal, golden-scaled, bat-winged dragon with three heads and two tails, its origin story is varied from being an extraterrestrial planet-killing dragon, a genetically engineered monster from the future, or a guardian monster of ancient Japan. The character is usually portrayed as an arch enemy of Godzilla and a foe of Mothra, which makes sense why they would hate fuck, because, come on.
Yeah. Like,
you're not foes. You're not foes unless, like, you're really into it.
Foes before hoes.
That might be the episode title. Despite rumors that Ghidra was meant to represent the threat posed by China, which had, at the time of the character's creation, just developed nuclear weapons, director Ishiro Honda denied the connection and stated that Ghidra was simply a modern take on the dragon Yamata no Orochi, which I'm sure we're all very familiar with, so I won't link out to that.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent work. Let's see. We're going to do a point for Andrea, a point for Betty, and a point for Shannon. And Andrea, you get to pick one, two, or three.
Ooh. I'm going to go three for We Three Kings.
All right.
Mm. Nice, nice.
Of Orient R, which, I mean, we just talked about China and Japan, so that's entirely appropriate to use the word Orient, I think. Comedy game show podcast.
Don't fuck it up.
Number three, Andrea, do you have a vague idea about Bo Jackson? Betty does.
Hell yeah!
I might, but I might be confusing it with a cartoon.
Okay, well, yeah. Great. Betty, you know.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Shannon, Bo Jackson.
I'll say vague.
Okay. Andrea, start us off. What do you know about Bo Jackson?
I think I'm thinking about that cartoon with Will Arnett, the BoJack Horseman.
Oh, BoJack Horseman, yeah. Which, I mean, let's talk about BoJack Horseman for conservatively 20 to 45 minutes.
It's our next podcast.
Yeah. Jacking with Bo.
Whoa, horses around. There's your love life again.
Yeah. No, that's probably not right.
Somehow I feel like that involves a bow flex. Listen to me on my bow flex.
Yeah, nothing says romantic interlude like a bunch of rubber bands that will definitely pinch things while you're doing stuff.
You're speaking my love language now, boy.
All right. So, BoJack Horseman?
Yeah, that and the Bowflex is about all I got.
All right. I like that a lot. That's worth a point for you. Betty, what do you got with Bo Jackson?
Bo knows baseball.
He sure does.
Bo knows football. Bo knows basketball. He was a bad motherfucker. This guy played various professional sports, was a freaking cat in the outfield in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And he was freaking big as a house. And he could move like an elf.
Yeah.
He was an incredible athlete.
Wait. I just want to... let's do a quick description of how an elf moves. Like, just for the listener.
Quickly. It's okay. In there in Christmas. Moving shit around. You don't know it's in
It's on
house.
The shelf. It's down. Yeah. It's
a little sneaky. quiet, quick. And this guy was a big, powerful guy. He was an incredible athlete. YouTube some highlights of Bo Jackson. Absolutely impressive, probably a once-in-a-lifetime kind of athlete. And he had this commercial on TV, Bo knows baseball, Bo knows football, bleh. And it was awesome, and you were like, yes, you know it all.
He did, he vomited for 5 minutes at the end of the commercial. Just,
and you loved it, and you loved it.
Yeah.
You loved it.
Shannon, what do you got about Bo Jackson?
What I knew was the commercial. Mm-hmm. And I remember the commercial ended with Bo Diddley going, Bo, you don't know diddley about music.
Oh! That's right.
That's right. Excellent. Yeah, what I will add about Bo Jackson for personal experiences, there was a video game called Tecmo Bowl that was on the original Nintendo. It was a football game. Bo Jackson was the most incredible player on the Raiders on that game. Where, like, if you got the ball to him, no one could catch him.
A little OP.
Because Bo Jackson was fast.
Super fast.
And he was great. He played for the Kansas City Royals. There's your royalty tie-in. Nobody mentioned that. But yeah, and I think probably one of the most tragic sort of sports figures of my young life, because he suffered an injury that was career-ending. And he was a two-sport guy, so he played baseball and football. And suddenly he couldn't play anymore. And then we were left with only Deion Sanders, which is not to say that Deion was... Deion had a great career.
Deion was bad to the ball.
But he was a different kind of player. Bo Jackson was like, as you said, Betty, like he was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of athlete. No. Where you're like, holy shit, somebody has all of this in them. He was born November 30th of 1962. He's the only athlete in history to be named an All-Star in both baseball and football, and one of the few to do so in the two major sports. He's widely considered one of the greatest athletes of all time. He was running back at Auburn, and he played for the LA Raiders, and he played for the Kansas City Royals. He was an outfielder and a designated hitter, batted right. He also played for the California Angels briefly and the Chicago White Sox briefly, which I think the White Sox was probably when I really got into it, because little Xander farts.
Just punctuating your sentences.
After a 1990 hip injury on the field into his football career, he focused on baseball. He also completed his Bachelor of Science degree in Family and Childhood Development in Auburn.
Sweetie.
And he also appeared in small roles on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Married with Children, as well as the film The Chamber. And before the show, my friend Greg, who will be on this podcast at some point, he mentioned, too, that Bo Jackson, still in Alabama, does charity bike rides where he rides around the state for money. So not only was he a talented athlete, but he's like a hugely stand-up dude. And I think we shouldn't forget him because, you know, it's real easy to get caught in the flash of the athlete of the day when, you know, you had some real character guys out there who were great. So, excellent job. Let's see. Betty, you're going to get 3 points. And I'm going to give 2 points to Andrea and Shannon. And did you just pick? I'm so bad at keeping track of this.
You just picked.
It's terrible.
I did.
Okay.
The Three Kings.
Okay. So, Betty, one or two?
Underdog, two.
Number two. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about the Queen's Liberation Front? This is probably the hardest one on the list.
Queen's Liberation Front. I'll get close. I'll make up a little something cute.
Great. Shannon, Queen's Liberation Front?
Does the Queen's Liberation Front attack cities?
Well, in a way, I mean, doesn't every front have to attack a city?
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Andrea?
Can I be in the middle of yes and I'll pass?
Check your bet.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna hear right. Betty talk first, so
shit.
If you can add something, or right. You might go, oh, I have an idea about that. But okay. it sounds like everybody's probably just going to get points because this was a stumper. That's but a Betty, topic. Let's start it off. What do you got?
The Queen's Liberation Front is the Sex Pistols fan club.
Okay. All right. I mean,
like it. That's kind of where my mind went, too.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair thing to say. I'm into that.
Sweetie.
Shannon, you passed.
Yeah.
Andrea, what do you got? Queen's Liberation Front.
It's when the sun set on the British Empire.
Ooh, okay. But it never sets on the British Empire, right?
Oh, but it did.
It did.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
One time.
USA. U.S.
John Goodman.
King Ralph. King Ralph was the sunset of the British Empire. The Queen's Liberation Front, and I included this because it was really interesting and I'd never heard of this myself, so I just want to inform all of us and inform the listeners.
That makes me feel better.
It was a transvestite rights group organization in New York City formed in 1969 and active in the 1970s.
The Stonewall Riot people.
It was founded as Queens by Lee Brewster in 1969. At his first ball in 1969. Okay.
He had
Brewster,
two.
I guess. Well done. See, I really like you. We're gonna have you back on the show a lot. You're right. You're just the right amount of spice. I love it.
Thank you.
They announced the plans to form the group. The organization was founded in part to oppose the relegation of drag queens to the back of the march at the first Christopher Street Liberation Day in June of 1970. In protest, the street queens from Star moved to the front and marched at the front of the parade anyway. So there was definitely some bureaucracy even in an LGBTQ organization, especially at that era. And I'll add, so my wife and I are watching the Netflix continuation of Tales from the City, the Amistad Maupin thing, which addresses trans stuff pretty directly, among other things. I mean, it's a series about that. Like that's what the book series was about, and mm-hmm. it's about just a bunch of diverse people hanging out. And it was really interesting. I think that the third to last episode of the season is just about 60s era being trans in New York and having or in California.
California.
Maybe. Yeah, in California, and kind of trying to navigate that. And it was very interesting to see this perspective where the essence of it is like, don't let anybody know. Don't hang out with people who are like you, because if you do that, then you're going to be branded as this thing. And then people are going to be awful to you because for some reason throughout history, people can't keep their fucking shit to themselves and just let people be what they are, even though it really doesn't matter. Because in the same way that, like, you know, we pass a bunch of dogs every day and nobody's like, well, that dog's this or that. Like, just shut up about people. Anyway, soapbox over. Great job, everybody. Everybody's going to get 5 points because no one knew.
But it was bad. It wasn't the people to do with the Stonewall riots then.
No, I don't think it was. Okay. It seemed to be a reaction to. So it was part of like doing the Liberation Day parade. They wanted to have an opportunity to be part of that, and they were sort of being relegated to the back of the bus in that situation.
It's cool.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the rough thing about human history is that we're always sort of fighting to be acknowledged, but also thinking that we have to contrast ourselves with someone else to be acknowledged, which, I mean, maybe that's just a capitalism sort of competition ethos? I don't know. I would like to think that we could all just kind of be noticed for just being, and yeah, that could be the end of it. Like, if we were all just compassionate to each other, it would probably be fine. Easier said than done. Shannon, number you get to pick one. Number one.
Yeah!
We're gonna end tonight's episode on a new game, and this game is called Scootin' with Putin.
Whoa. That's what Xander wants to do right
now. Yeah. Me too, because I gotta go from this big ass beer.
So for Scootin' with Putin, you have to imagine that the people, so I have one person from history for each of the three of you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some descriptors around this person, and we'll see if you can get them. This person has just rented Lyft scooters, I like that, with Vladimir Putin, and they're scooting around town. Okay?
Okay.
So Shannon, this woman who gave birth to the current Queen of England is scooting around with Vladimir Putin. Who is he scooting with?
I don't know my British royals. She's Elizabeth II, so Elizabeth I.
You're very close, but not quite.
Ah.
It's Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, who is, because she's not directly royalty, she's not Elizabeth the First. She married in. But yeah, I'm gonna give you half a point for that anyway. I think that's
that shit wouldn't fly
enough
in America.
Andrea, this Austrian leader was assassinated, leading to a world war. Who's Vladimir Putin scooting with?
I actually hope it's the band.
They're Austrian?
No, they're just named after him. Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah, oh, very good. Very good. Excellent. Take me out.
Can they just have, like, that obnoxious speaker? You know, people started carrying speakers with them everywhere, and they're like, look, I'm listening to music. Headphones are for losers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, just, like, put a bunch of speakers on their little scooters with Putin and, like, take off their shirts and go.
Yeah. Just fly to the Valkyries all over the place. I'm sure that's what they would listen to. I passed this afternoon taking Rocket home from work. Like, I passed a couple who he had like a big Android phone in his back pocket with some bullshit cranked up to 11. And I was like, really? You think everybody wants to, like, I mean, and I wasn't like, no big deal, but it's like, do you really think everybody wants to listen to what you're listening to?
They do. Was it like Magic Carpet Ride? Like, were they on one scooter together?
Oh my god! See, that gets back to the cream situation. If people are dueling up on a scooter. Oh man!
Denver on a Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see that a lot too. Where I'm just like, I feel I've reached a point now as I get toward being 40 where I'm like, I get viscerally and physically afraid for young people when they're like scooting to a scooter. I'm like, oh god, you're not gonna notice. They did a core drill in the middle of that intersection. You're gonna, because I saw a guy do
helmets,
that too.
Helmets.
I saw a guy do that.
Oh yeah.
Like one of those core drill things. The front wheel went in and he just went boom right over.
Oh, those things go fast.
Yeah.
Like
he got himself right back up, and I was like, shit, dude, that's gotta hurt.
No, what's he gonna do in the intersection in front of everybody? He's gonna get up and go.
He's gonna do a soccer player. They're gonna be like, ah, my legs.
FIFA.
right. Betty, this monarch of England received his battle weapon from a watery woman. Who is Vladimir Putin scooting with?
He received his battle weapon from a watery woman?
Mm-hmm.
A mermaid? You don't have to answer that.
No, yeah, yeah.
He received his...
This lady of a body of water.
You know this? You know this? You know this too, Shannon? You know what? Damn. I don't know. Margaret Thatcher. Like, I don't know.
He's like, I love the idea that...
Alleged monarch?
Oh, yeah. I guess alleged monarch would be fairer.
Oh, you gave me a fake-ass monarch?
No, no, no. Well, he's... I mean, everybody knows about this monarch. I love the idea of the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, being the person that we're talking about.
Do I know, getting I know a about sword. This monarch? I do.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Watery woman.
This particular monarch had a wizard friend, and
the Rasputin guy. Those are Russian people.
Different wizard. and he had a best buddy.
Is this some Harry
who
Potter
started
shit?
Fucking his wife?
Is this
no,
Harry
this is this is way shit? Older. It was. It's not real, but it's older.
Oh, it's fake. Okay, okay, I got it. I'm fictional. Fictional, not fake.
Yeah.
Fiction is better than real.
Yeah.
This
like a sword and a rock.
There are two iterations of where the sword comes from. Sometimes sword comes out of
King
a stone.
Arthur.
Yeah, King Arthur is correct.
She gave me a hint. I can't take no very credit good. For that. That's all. Andrew is all in points right there.
Wait, it's two different versions. Like there's a lady in the lake who gives the sword, and there's a sword in the rock.
Yeah,
but they're not the same.
No. But it's Excalibur both times, even though,
yeah
you have to draw Excalibur out
one
of the stone.
A reboot.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, come on. Like, England gets bored. They're like, hey, give us a new version of this story that we think is funny.
That was a curveball. That was a curveball.
great job. I'm going to give Andrea and Shannon 1 point. Betty, you're going to get half a point. Now I'm going to tally the scores so you guys can just kind of shoot the shit for a second.
Yeah, the whole Splinter thing kind of throws me off, because as a kid... kind of thought Splinter was a really hot rat.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's got that, he has that sort of wizened deliberateness to him that I think everybody finds that attractive. Like, I think anybody who's just, like, they seem so in control that they're like, no, I'm taking my time. I understand how things work. I'm not going to rush around. I don't have to throw a bunch of ideas at you. I'm not going to have a comedy podcast just because I need attention like Nate Regolia. I can just sit back in my robe and be like, you know what? I got this. Yeah.
Yeah, and like pick up a bunch of little mutant turtles and be like, I'm going to make you warriors. I know this is a far-fetched idea, but I know what I'm doing.
All right. We have a final score.
Ooh, I can't wait.
And we have a tie for the win.
Ooh.
Betty and Shannon have tied with 22 points.
Shannon!
Congratulations. And Andrea, you had 20 and a half, so this was a very close game. And honestly, because I throw points around like willy-nilly with no real order, it doesn't matter. Thank you guys for being on the show. So Betty is one of our two winners. Do you have anything that you would like to plug? Anything you'd like to talk about?
I can plug a For Real Business?
Yeah, floor is yours.
I'll plug Ryan McDaniel. He's a realtor in town. He's wonderful. He is a mindful realtor. He's a great negotiator, and he'll be on your side. So give him a call. 303. Shit, what's his number? Oh, I got it. 303-886-1169.
All right. Nice. I like the idea, too, that even if you didn't remember, he would be on your side. It'd be fun.
He would.
Shannon.
He'd give you the number. That's what you think about.
He'd be like, yeah, just don't worry. You just call me. Just... telepathy. Shannon, what would you like to plug?
Nothing to plug this week.
Nothing to plug this week? Great. Andrea, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah. So Betty and I have been popping off our tops on our cans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Top poppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saved these for the Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah, because they recycle them, and it brings in, like, the one right down the street here. It brings in, like, over $6,000 a year for them and donated pop tops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I will give you the tops off of the three beers I've drank this evening, too.
Perfect. How do you get them to... Do you just drop them off, like, in the main lobby or something.
Yeah, nice. And they have barrels and barrels of them. It's really cool. And it's an easy way to do a little bit of recycling. You know, the cans aren't sticky. We just got the little tabs.
That's so cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Plus, there's something about a bag of tabs that seems, like, very gratifying.
It is. I have two big-ass bag of tabs in my office right now.
It's like having that big, like, glass of change that you just build up over time, which, by the way, I need to take that to a bank sometime and cash it in. Yeah. Turn it into bills, baby!
That makes me want to get a jar at work and ask people to start putting tabs in
it.
We
do that at work?
Yeah, we will totally collect them.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Cool. Well, good. Hey, if you guys are listening and you want to keep your tabs, we'll keep tabs on you!
Woo!
So you can tweet at me or at the show, and I will get in touch with Andrea, and we'll get those tabs dropped off. So that's at A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter. You can also follow us at on Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully, with this new sound setup, the whole situation is a little weird. It might be. Might be quiet at times. Might be too loud. It might be too sexy at times, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Green fuzz.
For some reason, I always want to ascribe 98 to fests. So, like, Cream Fest 98. I feel like, because Cream Fest 19 just seems like, honestly, Cream Fest 19 seems like a bad horror movie or a bad porno movie, but Cream Fest 98 feels like it's got context in a year that seems relatively recent to me, even though it's actually 25 years ago.
I always say 99.
Cream Fest 99.
My festival year is 99. That's funny that you did that.
You gotta put on those safety booties on your shoes so you don't slip in the cream, baby. Thank you so much for listening to A Vague Idea. If you like the show, please spread the word, tell people about us. You can rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And otherwise, if you want to be on the show, tweet. Talk to me. A lot of you know me because there's only so many people who listen to the show anyway. Reach out, for fuck's sake.
Call me, Mom.
Yeah, that's right. I need attention. That's why I'm doing this. Yeah, otherwise, we'll quote Dave DeNovelis again and just say, be good to each other, keep your phones charged, and have a great evening. Thanks for listening to A Vague Idea. Bye!
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 A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Gronkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.